The gospel this morning is from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Let us listen together for God's word. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. And may God add his blessing to the reading of these holy words.
Dear ones, let's be together in a spirit of prayer. There's flowers and sunshine and baptism and new members and so much swirling around, so much to celebrate. But we pause to hear your word and to break it open, to lay it bare for our lives, for our sakes, and for the sake of the whole world. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us the good news this morning and nothing less. Amen. So there's this young couple, and they had a challenging time. Their five-year-old had started kindergarten and was having trouble adjusting to the new routine, and their one-year-old just would not sleep through the night. Their car kept stalling randomly, and the mechanics couldn't figure out what the problem was. The dining room had been under renovations for about a month or so, and it was disrupting the whole order of the house, and the dog was missing again. So they needed a break. And not only did they need a break, but they needed a date. So the husband found some friends to watch the kids for the night. And then he had the contractors lie to his wife to tell him that the renovations would be done on Monday, but really they'd be done on Friday afternoon. And so that Friday, with the contractors finishing up and his wife at work, he took the day off to shop and to clean and to prepare a wonderful candlelight meal. He roasted a prime rib, he mashed potatoes, and he set out the china they had gotten for their wedding. He arranged flowers and he lit candles, and then he took a gift box and he filled it with diamond earrings and wrapped it so nicely and put it right onto her dinner plate. All was ready. At 5:45, the garage door opened, and he knew she was coming, so he took off his apron and dimmed the lights and sat down at the dinner table. And when he heard her in the hallway taking off her shoes and her coat, he called to her, "Honey, come into the dining room when you get a second." As she walked into the dining room, as she was in the doorway, he called to her seductively, "Welcome home, sweetie." And she walked in and she looked around. And she said, "Oh, it's so lovely. The crown molding is just like I imagined. I thought that they were going to put up the wrong ones, but they didn't. They put up the ones that I really, really wanted." And his jaw dropped. Sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. Sometimes we miss love and romance for crown molding. Sometimes we miss the most important thing that's right in front of our eyes. You see, Luke's account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is filled with trees and filled with crown molding. It's got people and action and items, and it's easy to get lost. So Luke tells the story like this. There were women going to the tomb. He names Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James, and there's some other ones as well. And they're taking spices after the Sabbath to finish burying Jesus properly. They had set out in the darkness expecting only death, you see, but when they got there, the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty and they were confused. And while they were wondering what happened, these two men appeared and their clothes started glowing bright white, and it caused the women to drop to the ground and bow down, but the men found their voices and said, "Why do you look for the dead among the living? He is not here. He is risen just like he said he would." So now the women were witnesses. And so they went from the tomb back to the other followers of Jesus to witness to what they had seen and experienced. But the followers of Jesus did not believe. They thought it was nonsense. But Peter, always the leader, he went to the tomb to find out for himself. And when he got there, the tomb was indeed open. The stone had been rolled away, and Jesus' body was not there, but there was just some linen strips where he had laid, which was a head scratcher for Peter. So the passage ends with him in the tomb looking at these linen strips and wondering what had happened. It's a full story, right? There are five people with speaking parts and maybe a dozen or so that are named or implied or mentioned in some way. And in addition to the people in it, there's lots of items too, right? We've got a stone, we've got a tomb, we've got spices, we've got some linen strips. And then in addition to the people and to the items, we've got lots of action, don't we? With the women and Peter running back and forth from the tomb, with the women being surprised, with the men glowing bright white, with the women going back and witnessing, with the disciples doubting. We have lots and lots of action. In just 12 verses, we have a story that's filled, bursting at the seams with people and with items and with actions. It is a story that is filled with trees and filled with crown molding. And because there's so much in it, it's easy to miss the forest. It's easy to miss the romance and the love. It is easy to miss the most important thing. So today, this morning, on this Easter day, let's not miss the most important thing. Let's not get so involved in the people and the places and the action and the items that we forget what this story is all about. Let's not get so wrapped up in our own wondering and doubts and disbeliefs that we forget what Easter is. Because in the end, Easter's not about spices and empty tombs. It's not about witnessing women and doubting disciples. It's not even about whether you and I believe in the resurrection or not. Because you see, what the story is really about, the most important thing that is so easy to miss, is that God chose to raise Jesus from the dead, and in that moment, God chose to turn to us fully, forever, and for all. You see, the most important thing is that God defeated death and that God is even now in the process of defeating illness and injustice and oppression and darkness and evil and weaving this world back together again. This story is not about what human beings have done and are doing and will do, but it's very much about what God and how God has loved us and is loving us and will love us forever. This is our wonderful, amazing, powerful, life-giving good news. God's saving love. God's saving love. Say it with me. God's saving love. It's the most important thing. So to be sure, there will be time to reflect on this story. There'll be time to walk with the witnessing women and to doubt with the disciples. There'll be time, too, as a church, to respond to the resurrection again and to figure out how we can more fully become Easter people. There's always time to look at the trees and to gush over the new crown moldings. But let's shelve that stuff this morning. Let's pause together. Let's breathe deeply. Can we bask in the light for a little while? Can we just be loved for a bit? Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound luxurious? Doesn't that sound like the most important thing we can do today? Because you know, it's Easter. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive again, and God loves you. I mean, you, and you, and you, and you, and you, even you, all of you, and all of us, so very, very much. This is the most important thing. Happy Easter. All of you. Amen.